Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to this month's episode of Banging Book Club. I'm Lucy Moon.
I'm Hannah Witten.
And I'm Lena Norms.
And this is the fortnightly podcast in which we read a book about sex or gender every single month and discuss it.
Yeah.
This is February. And in February, we read Nina Is Not Okay by Sheppy Corsandi.
Yes, we did.
That was very concise.
I was very focused.
I feel like it was the introduction to like the BBC News or something. I loved it. It was like, and it's so, just locate you in the situation, it's 7 o'clock.
And that all came from her head. We didn't write down a script.
I know. I'm amazed. I have an opening comment to make to one of our listeners. His name is Simon Owen. And he has dropped me a feedback email.
Oh.
And we all have feedback from men, my fave. Favourite themed emo. In fact, I have a folder. Simon would like to say that as a challenge, could you, Hannah and Lucy, try to make a podcast without using the word like? You will shorten the podcast by about 20%.
Oh,
so Simon,
you,
the challenge,
your uninvited opinion.
What we're going to do this podcast is say the word like as much as possible.
Because I don't care like what men think like.
And maybe we should maybe substitute it for like on the news, like on the like posh people news, yeah. Like with all the male patriarchy. Well, I think you see, David, that my views on Brexit are Don't tell me that politicians don't hesitate. They're just men and they have lower voices. Fuck you, like. Anyway.
Venom. Okay, so trigger warnings before we begin on rape, relationship abuse, and alcohol. Can you guys think of any more?
Then the main ones, I think.
The word like. If you're triggered by the word like, you should like watch out.
Yeah. And a quick trigger warning for eating disorders as well. We've realised midway through the podcast.
Shall we do quick sound reviews of Nina Is Not Okay and then explain the plot to listeners?
Let's do that.
I think Lucy should go first.
Well, no, I was going to say mine's really dark, so it would just be crying noise. Because that's all I did through this book. I cried.
To give anybody context who's not sure, is that we started reading this book thinking it was kind of just about sex. There might be some alcohol.
Thought it was going to be a funny YA coming-of-age story about, with a bit of alcohol thrown in for good measure. Yeah.
And Lucy's recently been, do you want to explain your background for people who don't know?
My background.
Your foreground, if you will.
Someone referred to it as my story the other day. I was like, ew, vomit in my mouth. I've recently gone sober-ish.
I've
gone sober, yeah, but I'm like considering reintroducing it. I'm very, very small.
Ooh, interesting. That's small. A new development.
I don't want to commit myself to
absolute
say
absolute plot twist to her story.
Yeah. I don't want to project myself as completely sober online because I don't want to mislead. But right now I am completely sober and I have been for 100 days.
Woo, 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 woo,
woo! That was due to issues with alcohol consumption. So it's not like a choice I made actively because I'm looking after my health or some shit. Like, this was a kind of necessary measure.
Yeah.
And so with that as context, Nina Is Not Okay hit me in a really interesting way.
Because Nina is an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Did not know
an
this.
18-year-old alcoholic.
Yeah. Because when I started reading it, I was like, Luce? Loose trigger warning.
Lena sent this message and was like, are you sure you're going to be okay reading this? And I went, sure, I'll be fine. And I basically had to finish it in about 2 days because I would never have picked up again had I not finished it. Because half the book, to contextualise for people who haven't read it, half the book is basically her going out, getting drunk, doing awful, shameful things and dealing with the emotional hangover afterwards. That is like 200 pages. Subjectively shameful, but she feels shame because of those things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's about 200 pages of that. And then she's checked into rehab. And then the rest of the story follows the kind of sobering up.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was Lucy's sound review plus the plot. Somewhere. Yeah. So that's great. So
she's given us so much recently. Over delivering.
Lita, what's your sound review?
Ha! Oh! Oh!
There were my emotions.
I loved it. I've not thought of mine yet. Nina is not okay. There.
That was it.
Maybe it should be Okay, so like I have prepared some like questions, but when I was like preparing them, I realised that they sound like kind of like quite book discussion.
Okay, sorry, I can't stop.
Sorry, can you like not?
Oh my god, I want to whack my head on a book.
So I've prepared some questions, but I've realised that I've written them in a really like teacher like reading pack kind of way. But I think that could be potentially funny. So okay. I'm going to read them out as they are, and we'll see what happens. So my first question is. This book is about the relationship between sex and drink, true or false? And if so, do you think that we talk about drink PS sex and talk about sex PS drink, but not them together equally? Because I think this is the first time that I've experienced them together. I don't know which it was more about.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I think true is about sex and drink, but not just that. It's about drink and blah. Like loads of stuff,
mm-hmm.
sex yeah. being like a very crucial part of that, especially when you get to like the fucking last 100 pages of the book. And then I think we should be having conversations about sex and alcohol equally, because the way that they play out in real life is often hand in hand. But the discussion of them never really is. Yeah, like, those are my thoughts.
Yeah. I only realised when I read it that I was like, oh, I've never not been able to decide which this is about.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I felt exactly the same. Like, the sex, PS alcohol. We rarely... If someone goes for drinks with someone on a date and then they have sex, one of them's always kind of an afterthought, either the alcohol or the sex.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's quite like, sad.
Yeah.
Who's ever had sex as an afterthought?
Yeah.
Me, probably. Oh, can you say it like that?
But it is a case of, like, you often excuse some of your sexual behaviour, being like, oh, we were wasted, or, like, we were really drunk. And often alcohol environments, so, like, bars and clubs, not only do those, like, places sell alcohol, but they're also places that create an atmosphere of hookup culture as well. So it's like an alcohol institution and a meet someone to have sex with institution.
Yeah,
like they're so together. Yeah. Why didn't I even
find
think that?
Love? So the bar is where I go. Thank you, Ed Sheeran, for your new single. Yeah,
calls it a single. He's such a grandma.
Oh, fuck you.
What's your single out? I don't know. I haven't heard that in ages.
What do you call it?
Track.
Okay, shoot.
Sick beat.
Yeah. Record.
Shoot. Can you tell I'm dating somebody younger? Anyway.
Oh, dear. Can we keep that?
Yeah, it's fine.
Oh, before we carry on getting into this, I just want to also say I fucking loved this book. I don't think I've said that yet.
No,
I loved it. Did you guys like it, despite other things?
I am ultimately glad I read it. I found it a very stressful read. I wouldn't recommend it for anyone struggling with alcohol issues, I don't think. But maybe I would. I don't know. Like,
this is me, it might trigger them or it might help them.
It was like a traumatic read and not a helpful read at all for me, but it was an interesting read.
Would it have been helpful to you before you had your crisis and went sober?
Yes.
See, there we go.
Yeah. Interesting. I think that would have been a better time. Or maybe it would have been worse, because that was when I was doing more of the going out. Because the thing that I think really hit me was that I saw my own actions replicated by Nina.
Mm-hmm.
Not to the same extent. I should clarify on
an
online podcast.
Did you get another condom lost inside you?
Yeah. Oh my god. No.
Anyway.
These are like, okay, not on a scandalous, in inverted commas, obviously, but like that kind of maybe more extreme level. Like it wasn't that extreme, but I would go out, get horrendously drunk, come back, have that crazy emotional hangover, have done stuff I regretted. Like that was a constant theme. So maybe it would have hit me more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we'll I never think, to know. Be fair, like, as your friend, if you were like, this is the best book ever, I'm going to read it every month all year, knowing you, I'd be like, are you okay?
Yeah.
Like, it's good. I don't think... Yeah. Yeah, I don't think...
Your reaction to it is totally fine.
Yeah. Yeah, it felt healthy.
For me, super, what I enjoyed most about this book was I listened to an audiobook and the author reads it and she's really great at reading it. Like, she's really great.
Is it more humorous?
Yeah. She gets all the comic timings, she gets the accents, and like, it's just a really funny thing to listen to because I think she has a lot of comic timing in the way she says stuff.
Well, she's a stand-up comedian as well.
Is she?
Yes, she is.
You can tell.
No,
she's, she would recommend. If you guys are listening to this and you haven't actually read it yet, I would recommend downloading the audiobook.
Yeah, I've seen her stand-up on things like Live at the Apollo before.
Oh, that's how I
watch them now.
That's how I know of her.
I need to give her a watch. So something else I looked up about Shappy. Mm-hmm. Am I allowed to call her Shappy?
We're friends, aren't we?
Shappy.
Obviously, I gave her a Google because I was like, does she also struggle with alcohol problems? Like, and completely read some interviews with her. No, she does not struggle with alcohol issues, apparently. But she's had similar issues with food addictions or food issues. So I don't know if she had an alcohol problem.
Okay. But she's spoken in interviews about the food stuff. Okay.
Yes, and she's mentioned it, kind of glossed over it and gone, that's the thing I experienced, don't want to go into it.
That's so interesting.
So I thought that was really interesting because I assumed from the way she describes a lot of it that she has had a similar experience.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting to have heard her read it. That must have been really interesting.
Because I was listening to it thinking, this must be partly autobiographical.
Yeah, same.
But it
definitely
kind of is, I guess, then, but in a different way to how I imagined.
Yeah.
In like a different addiction, maybe. Who knows? One of the things that I loved about the first person, like, you get it, you're in Nina's head, basically, is her whole thought processes. And like, I know you've also read this book, and it kind of reminded me of it, even though the book I'm going to compare it to is non-fiction and completely autobiographical, which is the Time in Between. The Space.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, The Time in Between.
The Nancy Time Tucker. In Between, which is Nancy's book about anorexia.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
And from that, being so in Nancy's head where she's like, I'm destroying my body, but she's like reasoning with herself, and you totally understand her thought process of why she is starving herself, even though she also knows it's destructive. I got exactly the same vibes from Nina of like, you totally understand how she's getting from A to B, and B being drink more. And you also see her knowing and aware of her actions, but not being able to stop. And it's really reminded me of Nancy's book.
Actually, similar feelings. I've not finished The Time in Between, but the bits of it that I did read, very similar. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. That it's kind of like a guttural reaction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You feel moved by it.
Sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The way that it's written often, like, in that real time, where she's like, I did this, and then I went to grab a drink, and then I downed it, and then this happened. Like, it's really... Yeah,
it's immediate. Mm-hmm. I think to just play devil's advocate, because to be fair, like, I really did enjoy it as well. I think it's a good book. My only thing that I would say is that I would consider this, in the way it's written and executed, as a YA book, and I'm not a fan of the fact that they published it as adult fiction.
I would make that call.
Did they publish
easily.
It as
adult fiction?
Yeah, so this is completely adult fiction.
Whoa,
but this for me, this is
YA.
But there's the thing that where I'm like, this is something that I lots of people online disagree with me about, but I do think there are decipherable like literary devices that make something adult or YA.
And I was reading it and YA. I was reading it and I, for me, it feels on the cusp, but more YA, but very on the cusp.
And I think it's also written in a way that would benefit people who are reading YA. And I also think that, so like, say with The Time in Between, like, that has lots of literary devices in it where it changes voice or change form, or part of it will appear as a play. Do you remember those bits?
Yeah.
Like, part of it will appear as a poem, and like, it has literary device. This doesn't have any literary devices. This is like leads you through the story with like this, which is important, especially if you're experiencing somebody with addiction. Sorry, people who can't hear see me.
She's putting blinkers up.
I'm putting blinkers up like a horse. Like, that's important, especially if you're like talking about somebody with addiction, to have a voice like that. But it also, in my opinion, makes it YA.
I would never have even questioned that this could be adult fiction. In my brain, this was hardcore YA.
I was very on the edge.
Then I think about the only adult modern fiction I've read is stuff like Sophie Kinsella stuff. Katie Price. So for me, that also kind of verges on like a YA voice of, again, the horse with blinkers up, like steering you down a path of sex and alcohol and debauchery.
Yeah.
I think it'll be interesting to see how we think about it like later in the year when we read some other stuff on the list and see, like, because I don't know, there's lots of like different stuff that's coming. Because we've got Aristotle and Dante,
yeah,
which is YA, but is also fucking literary masterpiece of, like, you could pick that apart in, like, a dissertation and it would be... Anyway, sorry, getting distracted.
Lena's getting excited.
Get all of them in literature, mate. Do you want me to go through my other questions, or do people want to talk more about...
Let's go through your questions.
Okay, I do, and then we can obviously...
I have
just
some other themes
them.
That I want to talk about, okay. But I assume you've probably got them down in your notes.
Oh, such faith. Mm. Okay, was Nina realistic for you? And does that depend on your own relationship to drink?
Lucy, do you want to go first on this one?
We're like, Lucy.
I've said this about the Catelyn Moran novel we read in December as well, but I find some of the voices in what I thought was YA, but evidently maybe not, like that first person voice can be incredibly childish to me and thus unconvincing. Mm-hmm. But as this book progressed, much the same with as How to Build a Girl progressed, like I believed it more and I believed it more and I believed it more. And then with regard to alcohol, Nina's alcohol experience to me is extreme and like almost unbelievable, but also believable.
It's like familiar.
Yeah, yeah.
Even
it's
if it doesn't feel like true to you, but like it's like...
Yeah, and it feels a little bit extreme.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I'm like deciding whether I am an alcoholic or I'm not. Mm-hmm. And blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So I'm going through those own processes myself. And I think a big part of that is realizing that a lot of the people that I do meet that do struggle with alcohol are a lot more severe than I am. And I can't relate on that level to it, like destroying a life in the same way it destroyed Nina's.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. But it did get more convincing as a voice.
Yeah.
As she matured.
I think that's also as you get to know a character as well.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when you first meet somebody at a party and you're like, you're a bit crazy, are you real? And then it's like, oh yeah, they are real, they're a real person, they have lots of aspects to them, but they do on first inspection and their voice is just a bit like, are you okay?
Yeah.
Nina.
I think one of my favourite things about Nina's voice that I did find believable is because you're so in her head, you get all of these thoughts that she has that no one else hears, no one says out loud.
Mm.
And it's often those things that a lot of people think, but they're too scared to say out loud because it's not like PC or as modern women, we shouldn't even dare think it. It's like the bit where she's talking about Robbie, who she's dating kind of at the end, and he pays for their date. And she's just like, yeah, I loved it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I fucking loved that he paid for it.
I made sure that he had to pay.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
which yeah, I know. It's one of those things where, like, we
the
can't,
guilty
you can't,
feminist.
You can't, exactly. And I feel like Nina is, in a lot of ways, not just in... Even though she never describes herself as a feminist, she always describes her friend Beth as the feminist. Mm. And she's always, like, picking apart things that Beth does.
She's like
that
the feminist critique.
Yeah, but then things that Nina does is that... I don't know if Nina's a feminist or not, and I don't necessarily think that's relevant. But it's just so fascinating, the things that Nina says, and as someone who doesn't... Nina, as someone who doesn't identify as a feminist, probably has a lot more freedom to think and say these things, because then no one's going to be like, oh, you're a feminist, you can't say that.
Yeah, why does so-and-so's feminist character say this? Yeah.
So it's like a truth to the... I have a question about that. Do you want me to bring it up now?
Sure.
I think it's quite interesting to talk about. The feminist voice in the book is not the main character. She's a friendly voice that is often mocked by the narrative of for her boring and extreme views. Was it good or bad to dilute that? Does Nina represent the reality of modern feminism that is still that still has a hangover, pun, from the last generation's oppression? Do you see what I mean? I'm like a school teacher. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
Did you put it in one of those, like... I might just, like, sell it to the publisher and they can print it at the back as, like, a reading guide for, like, groups.
Do it.
Anyway. Yeah.
I don't know. I really liked that the feminist voice wasn't the main character. But that might just be because I've read, like, all of Holly Bourne's books.
Yeah.
And so I'm just so used to, like, having the feminist voice be the book.
Yeah.
And so it was quite refreshing. It was nice.
And I like Beth as a character so much. And she's also... worth mentioning, like, Beth is not only the feminist character. Is she called Beth?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, good. Mm. She's not only the feminist character, but also the very, like, well-adjusted character.
Yeah. Mm.
So it's like, look at this really well-adjusted feminist girl who's taking her time with life and doing really well.
And has a lot of patience with Nina.
Yeah.
Who tried to sleep with her dad and she still forgives her.
Yeah.
She did blow up in her face about that. She did scream at her about it. True. But then as soon as she came out of rehab, it was just like, no, we're cool.
Also, she adopts like a boy at the end and then seems to carry him around everywhere, which is kind of annoying.
Yeah,
I was like,
that is
calm down, Beth.
Yeah, I think she's just in love.
Yeah, and again, that's the adjustment. That's the adjustment of as Nina gets more adjusted, maybe Beth's weaknesses come out more in Nina's eyes.
Mm.
Because Nina stops thinking so much about herself.
What do you think about the feminist voice, Lena?
I liked it, and I kind of like, I cringed at some bits because I was like, oh no, that's me. God, I'm fucking Beth.
Yeah.
But then I think it was like made me happy as well, because I think we've got to a place where, like, because there used to be so few female voices in literature, now we get to, like, now we've got some, we can now get to have the, like, the female voice that isn't, like, a heroine. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, now we can just have a diverse amount of, like, female voices that aren't always correct and, like, are flawed, but because we've had some heroines as well.
Yeah.
Mm. I don't know. It made me super happy. And then also, that kind of feeds into my next question, but another comment is that, like, her feminist views on rape and abuse infringe on Nina and her own emotions. And it's like the reality of your feminist critique on rape can, in real time, affect the people actually experiencing the thing.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? So she has this speech where she's like, I'm not going to be your fucking poster girl, Beth. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And she has this big, quite feminist rant, I think, just being like, stop telling me to report it. Which I really like. So my next question, class, is memory and rape are always linked when the press talk about these kind of situations. Okay. In this instance it's made clear later that the guy definitely did do it. I think we're all agreed that he did definitely rape her.
Mm.
But before that, how did you feel about that situation? Were you sure whether she'd been abused or not? And like, is that an awkward
question
to ask?
So before Zoe sent her the videos, when we just, like, from Nina's blurred memory loss perspective, that scene,
it might just be me, but from reading it, the only way that I was completely sure that it happened as a reader was when we got to know the rapist and the stuff that he said afterwards that incriminated him. Before that, I was like, something really shit happened. Oh my god, what happened? Maybe she didn't have sex with any of them.
Really?
Maybe she just went home with her. I mean, obviously it's a book, so I was like, probably did happen.
Oh, I just full-on assumed she got raped.
Really?
Wait, but from... I'm confused.
Are we talking about the club?
At what point of evidence? Because I'm thinking from the scene in the club, where just right at the beginning, that first scene, I kind of was just like, I think something bad has happened, but I don't think she's been raped, even though the evidence is that she doesn't remember anything. She's got her knickers on in her hand and cum in her hair, I think. But you don't know anything. Like, my first thought was actually the taxi driver.
Really?
Maybe might have raped her.
What? But no, also, I definitely thought it was the two guys.
But the way that whole scene is written is as if you are in Nina's head. So the memory, and I had to reread that page like so many times to be like, am I missing something? Oh, yes, I'm missing something because Nina is missing something. Like, her memory is gone.
Yeah.
And then as soon as Nina got the videos from Zoe of Alex having sex with her and, well, raping her.
It's so horrific.
Like, as soon as that video evidence was there, I was just like, oh, she was raped.
Yeah.
Like,
see, but I think that before
But you didn't
that,
think he was she was raped at that point? Or you didn't?
Before you didn't. That, I wasn't sure. But then maybe that made me the problem, because I was like, as a reader, I need to see evidence that this has happened. Do you know what I mean?
It's so interesting to me, because for me, as soon as she had cum in her hair and she was holding her knickers, I was like, and it's there's two guys take her outside, and then they put her in a taxi afterwards. I'm like, we all know what happened then. Well, that,
like,
was my assumption.
I feel like that because it's a book. I know that event probably happened because events happen in books. But then, like, I think if she was my friend, I'd be like, I don't know, dude. Oh, maybe they just put you in a taxi.
No,
I wouldn't have thought that. But I knew that something was up. But like, you didn't know if sex consensual or not had happened until the video evidence of sex was happening.
I thought it was made clear, even if it hadn't been like penetrative, like maybe she'd fully gone down on them, but the fact that she can't remember anything shows she did not consent, thus it is rape. Like,
well, this is the thing that's obliterated enough about. To like
Yeah.
Yeah, because when you're incapacitated, you can't consent. And she was very clearly incapacitated.
And I thought it was clear they'd done something sexual. Mm-hmm. And thus I concluded it was rape, no matter what kind of the
outcome
was.
Because we saw the blowjob scene earlier, though, I kind of thought maybe there was cum in her hair from that. Maybe she got really drunk and just decided to take her knickers off. Like, shit like that happens when you're wasted. I've gotten drunk and taken my pants off.
See, I've never got drunk and taken my pants off. Just in case anyone was wondering.
Do you know what? If I was a millionaire and I was trying to invest money in the country to make sure it got better, do you know what I'd do? I would hire loads of feminist bodyguards. Because, like, not bodyguards, doormen. Bouncers. Yeah. Feminist bouncers is what Britain needs. Because I'm like, why did you send her out? If she was that capacitated, why the fuck did you chuck her out of the club?
With no phone, no friends.
No friends. Like, I think who's at fault here is the bouncer. Like, that made me really angry. And I was like, I would happily invest a lot of money in, like, feminist training for bouncers.
But then that secondhand embarrassment I felt when she was answering back to the bouncer, I was like, I've done that. That is honestly, like, please just stop. Stop doing it, Nina. You know you're going to hate yourself in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was so much of that.
But the whole, you know, but it was very clear to me, like, once Zoe'd sent her the video, I was like, she's been raped. And I'm also, it's one of those things where I think that I would have been like Beth, like, you've been raped, report it, even though I hope that I wouldn't be. I'd hope I'd be like, it's up to you, but I'd also be like, you've been raped, oh god.
Yeah, it feels. And I think also, like, what was interesting thinking back about it was that I think that those videos needed to come out for a lot of other characters in the book to react the way they did. So, like, the mum, she wouldn't have reacted in the... She's a strange character as it is, but, like, she... Yeah. I think without the videos, she would have very much been like, Nina, you got yourself into a situation, you shamed yourself, like, you shouldn't have been that drunk.
Yeah.
But with the video evidence, it's very clear.
What fascinates me about the mum is that she wants her to go to court because the videos have embarrassed the family.
Wait, does
she
say
wants
that?
She wants some legitimacy to, like... You know, she wants people to be like, oh, they want an excuse or explanation.
Nina's not a slag. She got raped.
Yes, exactly.
The law says
that's
so.
That's why the mum wants her to go to court. Whilst caring about her, it's also a very selfish reason.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really, really interesting way of creating her character. I really liked
that. That was a clever, because I think the maternal role is slightly more about honour than it is about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you've got the Beth voice, which is the, like, feminist, loud, like...
Justice.
Yeah, the justice, like, the reasoned, like, one. And then you've got the mum with ulterior motives for it. Mm-hmm. And you never really hear that voice.
And Alan, bless
Alan. Oh, I love Alan.
My next thing is about Alan. It's literally about Alan.
Oh, my God. Should we move on to Alan in a bit?
Pause on the Alan.
One of the things that I found really interesting is that in the story they wrote in that... two other girls had previously come to the police with complaints about Alex, the same guy, but they hadn't gone anywhere. And that to me is so, like, realistic, because, and also really saddening, because so many women don't go forwards, or they do go forwards and then they drop the charge, or there's not enough evidence, and, like, la la la, there's reasons why it doesn't go fully to court, or
and
the they
character
don't get arrested.
Like Alex as well,
just
where
keeps
he,
on
yeah,
doing the
he's,
same
he's so
thing.
Believable,
so believable, because
oh, I've met Alex,
he wouldn't
we've
be
all
as believable.
Met Alex.
And there was something a little bit like, oh, he's the perfect villain, it can't have just happened to one person, was like my thought. I was like, it's almost too unbelievably villainy, and then it's like, oh no, two other people. I'm like, yes, you are a calculated, clever guy.
And then her friend gets sucked into it as well. Yeah. Like, that was the really scary bit for me.
But yeah, the Zoe and Alex relationship is just, like, so
chilling.
Scary. I feel so sorry for and her. Also just textbook abusive relationship. The way that he alienates her from all of her friends as well, and just makes her feel absolutely worthless, and makes her think that what the two of them have together is so special and they're unique and no one else will understand, and she pushes everyone else away to the point of, like, depression and an eating disorder. Because there is a point, there's, like, I feel like, I don't know what it was like for you guys reading it, but for me there was, like, a tipping point where I was just like, Zoe's a bitch, oh no, Zoe, no,
come back,
oh, Zoe.
And it's at that point where she's done something so terrible that even if Well, Nina will probably never let her back into her life, hypothetically. But even if she starts getting, if Zoe starts getting better and getting out of the relationship, she will then hate herself for what she did.
Or to
like,
Nina.
Yeah. Mm. And that feeling of like, you are going to be punished for the rest of your life for being in an abusive relationship, basically.
Even if you are only being punished by your own guilt.
Yeah. Mm. And that will just, and that, I just feel so sorry for Zoe, but also like,
She's, I don't get how she could have been so close friends with Beth, but didn't realise that posting those videos on Facebook would be like an act of unfeminist warfare. Like, I'm like, you were friends with Beth! You should know!
It's the distorted, it's the distorted, like, and also when people aren't eating, and it's made very clear Zoe's not eating, Zoe is really kind of destroying herself with stress and worry and lack of food, you're not thinking clearly.
Mm. And also, I think she probably posted them when she found them.
Yeah.
Do you know, so she was angry. She was like, God, and so also sad. Because she's in an abusive relationship, her dear Alex could do no wrong. Nina is the one who's in the wrong in that situation.
Yeah, it was the posting of it online that was
brutal. What did you think about her? Because I found as well, like, I really like
trigger warning revenge porn.
But what was interesting was that the, it was mentioned at the beginning, and she said that she knew that she had an exotic appeal for boys that was different to what's the Zoe's appeal. And she talks about, I think I might be wrong, I think she talks about like her as Zoe's being really pale and like blonde and pure, and then like she feels like she's not that to boys.
Oh my god, yes, I really want to talk about this.
It says right at the beginning though, so I'm hazy on my memory of how that was phrased, but
maybe in that bit I can't remember, but that bit is specifically about her race. But then that whole idea of comparing herself to Zoe or people like Zoe throughout the book, absolutely, it kind of broke my heart a bit, where she's like, people like Zoe are the people who are girlfriends. I'm someone you just fuck in a park.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, I hated that.
That whole thing, like, ran through the whole...
The idea of purity. And...
The idea of purity and the idea...
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Dear, that men go for girls like this for people that they want to date, and then they go for people like Nina for people they want to shag, and all they're good for is shagging.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's a self-worth thing. Like, ugh.
And also, like, her ex-boyfriend who left her for that fucking American girl.
Oh, Jamie.
Hey, Jamie. Serious self-esteem issues.
I know.
Yeah, Jamie was a weird... Do you know what this is making me realise? This discussion is making me realise how intricate and interesting all the characters were.
Oh, in this book? Yeah, every character... There was no character that was in there that you were like, I didn't really get to know them, I didn't really understand them. Like, every character in this book... You, like, fully understand that, like, their...
Her little sister was, like, a whole Katie, little person. Katie. She wasn't just like, oh, we've got this, like, small child in the book, lol. It was like, Katie was a person. I would have recognised Katie if you'd introduced me to her at 14 or 30. And this moment, I'm like, that's Katie.
Yeah.
That was skillfully done.
Yeah.
They're all so good. But, yeah, Jamie, absolute ass. Can we talk about Nina's sexuality? Because she kind of, like, comes out bisexual halfway through the book.
We've got race, we've got sexuality, we've got sex.
Who says banging book club isn't diverse in our reading anymore?
Oh, my gosh. Her sexuality that she is...
Bi.
But she also is like kind of not even up for questioning at that point because so much else is going on. She's like, that's on the back burner.
I'm too busy to deal with my bisexuality.
Yeah. It's like kind of touched upon.
Yeah.
No pun intended. And then just like, like kind of like.
I fully think you intended that pun.
Yeah. It's just like, it just approached a bit and then kind of backed away from.
I've just realised or remembered why I think this book is more, like slightly more adult fiction maybe. It's because the sex in it is a lot more graphic than you would find in YA.
Oh, that's so true, yeah.
That's true.
That the sex is really detailed and sometimes quite disgusting. Like,
yes.
You know, she's like being fucked doggy style in a park while she's puking on the soil.
Oh god, that was awful. The, all the sexual imagery
the,
I found
the
really
lesbian
awful.
Sex scene that she has in rehab.
That, I really hope they didn't make it because it's a lesbian sex scene. I really hope that's not the reason. Because I don't know, I think that too. But then I also think, like, books like Junk that were, like, really famous, like, 10 years ago when I was, like, oh, God, when I was 16. That's also really horrific. It's about drug abuse and sex.
Yeah.
I don't know, I feel like we've been there. I feel like YA's been there before. It could go there again. I think it's become a bit too vanilla.
I hope it wasn't made adult fiction because of the gay sex scene.
Me too.
But the other sex in it was also similarly described in the detail.
Yeah, and so, like, and that whole,
the straight sex was way like more explicit than the gay sex,
and more
it was
like
more violent,
shocking.
Though.
Yeah, more violent, more shocking.
The,
more like
the lesbian sex that she has in the book is the only like decent sex that she gets in the whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh, other than the amazing sex, mind blowing sex that she has with her ex boyfriend Jamie,
which is not described at all.
It's not described at all. You don't get details. It was just amazing, but we all know that it wasn't great because then he gets on a plane back to his girlfriend.
Yeah.
So we're like,
yeah. Mm. Gosh.
But then the woman that she has great sex with dies. So
yeah, this is a complicated.
Totally forgot
I forgot how much stuff happens in this book.
Yeah, no, quite a lot happens.
I think it's worth mentioning, not because I particularly want to analyse it, but like the sex she has in the first half of the book is some of the most harrowing stuff I've ever had to read.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not just because I have issues with alcohol, because that is awful. Like the stuff she went through is absolutely traumatic as fuck.
Yeah. And this is also like where I often find myself having conversations with people about promiscuous female behaviour and all of that. Because you could say from looking as an outsider, you just see this woman getting drunk and having loads of sex. And so people might be like, oh, she's a promiscuous woman. She's a bit of a slut. Da, 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 da. And I'm all like, hey, if you want to go out and have loads of sex, that's great. You do you. But then the difference is she's not doing it because she's like, I'm having a great time and I love sex and this is how I love expressing myself and I'm getting loads out of this and this is really fun and healthy. No, that's not what it was like for her. And that's like the other side of the coin where it's like going out and having loads of sex, but it being like for all of the wrong reasons.
Mm. Which are like, she's
still
lacking
self-worth. Still doesn't make someone a slut, though.
No, not at all. But she's trying to find validation through it. She's deeply insecure. She's like,
she thinks that's all she's good for.
Yeah, it's literally like, it's a really strange way of experiencing sex in a novel. Because it is truly, it's like she's an object. She objectifies herself.
Yeah. I kind of, like, really enjoyed, but, like, not enjoyed is the wrong word, but, like, the monologue that she has in her head after she does sex, or when she's about to have sex, she's like, yeah, I'm just a crazy party girl like that. Yeah, I am gonna do that. I'm so crazy.
But it is so extreme.
But that's, like, what I do. Like, I'll be like, yeah, I am gonna have another shot because I'm crazy.
Yeah.
Sorry, you should use the word crazy in the context of I know about mental health and I'm sorry. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just one of those off-the-wall kind of people.
And that's, I think the sex that is described as purposefully described is so unbearably extreme so that we cannot come to any other conclusion but that it's damaging her.
Yeah.
Because like this is, it's not just, there's no room for negotiation when she's like the time when she has sex and the condom comes out and she has sex with someone else in the same house on the same day and she stays drunk for like 48 hours. There was no question there that was completely unhealthy. And that's made, that's put in there because they want us to know it's completely unhealthy.
And, like, kind of, we're already talking about it, but back to, like, how sex and alcohol are so linked. When she is sober for, like, the final third of the book, she keeps saying to her, she's going on these dates with Robbie or just, like, hanging out with men in general, and she's like, oh, if this date, we were drinking alcohol,
I'd be having sex with him. Mm. Like, she knows. She kind of knows in her head, oh, like...
It's like sliding doors.
Yeah.
She's like, I know how I do this date. Yeah. And it's not how I'm doing it. Yeah.
It's like...
Wait, what do you mean by that?
That's we get drunk and then we fuck.
Yeah.
Well, that's how... That's really interesting, because that's how I've seen me being sober and going on dates. Is like, if I were drunk, we would have done this.
Yeah. See?
Yeah.
I always, like... I've had dates like that as well, where it's just like, you get drunk and you have sex... But then often what I have to try and do to myself is like, Hannah, did you fancy this person sober?
Yeah.
And if drunk me can be like, yes, I did fancy them sober, then I'm like, full steam ahead.
Like, pass. Yeah. Pass go, collect 200.
If sober Hannah was just like, I don't know, we'll see, then I have to like really be like, do I really want this?
Yeah, but, that's a good way to
I found that really interesting that even when she was sober, she was still very much connecting sex and alcohol because she knew that drinking would often lead to that with her.
Mm. Yeah.
To the extent that she would walk into her best friend's dad's room in her underwear.
Again, more traumatic.
And grab his dick.
Did she grab his dick?
She grabbed his dick. She like...
I read that so fast. I was literally, I cannot physically... I think I must have skipped like 2 pages of that because I was like, I cannot read you... And not, like, want to vomit in my mouth.
I have to say, there was a part of me, whilst reading that scene, I was just like, please, Max, like...
Yeah.
Please, Max. Be strong.
Yeah. Be strong, Max, please.
Okay, this leads into my next question.
Yeah.
Which is my last question, so after that we can freestyle.
Have we not been freestyling yet? Yeah.
This is the whole
freestyle. I feel like I've explored freestyle so life. Much.
Men aren't demonised in this book. I don't know whether you agree with that, but I think that's true.
Aren't.
Hmm. It's as much about masculinity and what that means as it is about feminism. Chauvinistic masculinity is mocked and shown to be harmful, but the pussiest man... Now, pussiest is a word that I'm like, is that really a word? But I was like, I don't have another word. The pussiest man, stepdad, turns out to be the strongest feminist, the most protective, and the best man. Do you agree?
Alan!
And then I said, also, what about Irish man and Park man? Where do they stand in this? Because there's lots of like, medium-level men who are, like, not... the people that are like I would say perpetrators or like dangerous but they do take part in sex with Nina, and some of them feel bad about it, some of them don't really know how to help, and there's so many men who are like, oh, I don't, oh my god, oh
yeah,
I don't
and know that's what where do. Alan plays in as well, isn't
yeah
he?
And then Alan is this extremely awkward man that turns out to be the one who's like, no, wife, don't treat your daughter like that. This is how we're doing it. No, Nina, you did nothing wrong. And her mum's like, she did some things wrong though. And he's like, no, fuck off.
And he's the one with the financial power in some way as well. So he's the one, I get the feeling he initiated coming back to London and just dropping everything and being like, she does need us.
Yeah. So I think, like...
Gotta love Alan. To be honest, I kind of loved Alan from the beginning, even though Nina hated him. I saw right through her. I was like, Nina, Alan may be boring to your 17-year-old eyes.
Yeah.
But...
You'll see soon.
Yeah. Loved Alan. Max was great, especially because he did not have sex with Nina. So
he held that, like,
good one.
Never
Max.
Read a character like that, who was put in a situation like that, reacted well. Everybody else reacted well to him. Nobody suspected him.
Mm. Well, that moment with the mum.
The mum did have to, like, first of all be like, Nina, did he do anything? And as soon as she was convinced that Max was not in the wrong...
Yeah, she was like, this is how we'll proceed.
Okay, so Dave, park guy who she has sex with. Yeah. And then Derek, Irish barman.
Yeah. You are good at names.
I know, she
You're
is.
You're welcome. I can't remember Derek's housemates' names.
Jamie's
the ex-boyfriend. Elliot is one of them.
Yeah, Elliot's the housemate, yeah.
Anyway, I'm trying to, like, now put them on a sliding scale of, like, great guy to the worst guy. If Alex
I think my question is more just, like, about the fact that there was a spectrum.
We got lots of men.
A good spread of men.
Good spread of men.
And the fact that
Thanks,
Max...
Thanks, Shappy, for the great spread of men. Sorry.
Makes it sound like it's cheese with crackers. There's the bit where not only does Max effectively forgive Nina, he, like, welcomes her back into the house in a way. He's like, you can't live with us. He puts up sensible emotional boundaries. He is someone that clearly has had a lot of therapy. He's put up sensible emotional boundaries, but is also forgiving and empathetic and kind. And I don't know. I just thought he was great.
Yeah. Like, it's a shame that he was too old for her, really.
Well, no, because I'm always a bit suspicious of any, like, male dad character or any male character above the age of, like, 40.
Yeah.
But with him, I was like, no, I actually feel a bit of trust with you.
What do we think of Robbie?
I've got
high hopes for Yorkshire Robbie. In the audiobook, he always talks like this.
Really?
Is Shappy doing that?
Yeah, Shappy's doing that. He's always like, oh, I'm Robbie. I'll take you home, Nina.
Can
I have your phone number? It's a dove's.
Because this was, I was getting.
He's like, because he's moved from up north, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He's like, I'm new here.
Oh, that bloody character, Polly. Is she called Polly?
Phoebe.
Phoebe. Oh, my God. Phoebe.
Everyone knows a Phoebe.
Phoebe in the
Dumbledore. Everyone knows a Phoebe.
I love them about Phoebes.
But I was going to say, all the bits which were set in college / school felt, at the beginning, a bit Angus Thongs. But then as Nina gained more perspective, they became way more like she was looking at everyone else. Like, they were the Angus Thongs and Perfect Snogging gang. And she was kind of a bit, like, progressed.
Oh, I've just remembered another character that I really love and want to talk about. Isabel, her English teacher.
Isabel.
Who she just wants to get fingered by. Which, oh my God.
So wait, sexual.
Now, where's my copy of the book? Because I cornered one page and one page only.
Was it that?
In this book.
It was the most hilarious thing.
So Isabel is Nina's English teacher who she fancies the socks off. And we also found out that Isabel is gay.
And is engaged by the end, right?
Yeah.
So like serious relationship.
And the way that...
Legit gay.
Yeah.
The way that Nina fantasizes... This is another reason why I think it's more adult than YA. Because the way that Nina fantasizes about Isabel is so detailed. Mm. Just so like... She doesn't skirt around anything. She's like straight to the point. Because she says... I tell Mum that Isabel is getting married to her girlfriend. Mum thinks I've got a girl crush on Isabel. A girl crush is when you're straight and idolise another woman, not when you fantasise about them tearing your clothes off and shoving their fingers inside you. But I don't say that to Mum.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so perfect. Shoving their fingers inside
but
you.
But I don't say that to Mum.
But I don't... Because I don't think... when I have crushes, I don't instantly associate that with sex a lot of the time. But I know a lot of people are way more sexually driven than me. I'm not particularly sexually driven. Mm. So it's quite refreshing in a weird way to read something like that, even though the prude in me was taken aback by it. Mm. I'm like, no, lots of people do think in a very sexual way when they fancy someone. Mm.
Just and that's cool. Just look at someone, your fingers inside me.
Yeah.
I'd like to know.
Oh, dear.
I loved it.
I wanted to mention briefly... Trish and her mum and class, because that's another aspect of it.
Yeah, good one.
Yeah.
Nice one. Lucy always brings up the class.
Class, depending on
what class you're in.
Yeah,
class.
All right.
Sorry, you're outnumbered, Lucy.
Oh, dear. Well, Trish is a great character, and her mum isn't even... I really like her mum a lot. I like how... Yeah,
there's another gay character.
Is she gay?
Yeah, I think they say that she's gay.
But she's a real lesbian, is what Nina says. She's like, no, but she's one of those hippie lesbians.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think Isabel's a bit of a lipstick lesbian, like quite feminine.
I think she calls her a gold star lesbian. No, that's a different thing.
No,
she
gold star...
She said something like she's... I don't know.
Oh, I can't.
Anyway, she makes something like... Yeah, that's what I kind of like about Nina, is that she's kind of not a feminist in a lot of ways. She says stuff that you're like, no. And she was also just kind of like, she says loads of homophobic stuff, even though she's like... bisexual.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Her awareness is
like, but I think that's quite like accurate.
Yeah, for a 17-year-old that's still finding out
don't
even know what level they're on yet. Mm. I think there's a really good case for like this book being great, filled with great role models. Mm-hmm. And I really like the way that the mum is not a great role model and is not portrayed
as
such.
The mum is complex.
But then you see her having beef with, is it B, Trish's mum? Mm-hmm. And how she's like, how Nina can tell that her mum doesn't like B. But actually...
I think it's B. Oh,
her mum doesn't like the Trish's mum. But how Nina kind of prefers Trish's mum in her attitude to stuff. And how you can see Trish's mum being a good motherly figure.
I think she does say, like, she knows that her mum doesn't like Trish's mum because of class.
Yeah.
Or she knows they're not like her kind
of people.
Well,
because she calls her own mum a snob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and I like that awareness that, like, so there is the mother character is not necessarily a great role model. She's all right, but she's not great. Mm. But then there are
she's
so many other adults.
She's also been through some shit.
Yeah. Mm. But there's so many other amazing adult characters that are great.
Yeah.
But then obviously you don't know them as complex.
I loved Trish, though.
Mm. Yeah.
Trish is so funny. But also it's like one of those things I think Nina might say at some point, right? Like you're kind of laughing at her, which is like really sad. Like everything that Nina said about Trish, I was just like, oh, poor Trish. But Trish like knows. Trish is just so aware of everything. She like gets everything, but she just kind of keeps it to herself. And it's just like the butt of every joke. But she knows she's the butt of every joke. Mm. And then like
owns it, and like that scene at the end where Trish is talking about how other people treat her, and she's like, "You do it too, Nina." And Nina's like really taken aback by how like up front and forward Trish is.
Yeah, it's she's like, "But yeah, you take advantage of me sometimes, but yeah. I don't mind."
Yeah.
Oh my god, Trish. And yeah. She just orders another muffin.
Just up Trish.
Bit of an Eeyore, really.
Yeah, that's a good description.
She's an Eeyore. Yeah.
There's another very important character that we have not mentioned once.
Who's her dad?
Yes, Nina's
bing,
dad.
Bing, bing,
ding, ding, ding.
I wink the dead post.
10 points for Hufflepuff.
Always 10 points for Hufflepuff. Yeah, I think it's weird because, like, I've just realised that my first question was, like, this book is clearly about sex and drinking. And I'm like, oh, maybe the whole thing's just about grief. Like, yeah. I don't know. Like, I'm coming back on myself and going, like, is it even about sex and drink? Because it all kind of stems from this underpinning, like, lack of somebody.
But then I don't necessarily think it comes from the grief. I don't think it's that simplistic. I think, well, alcoholism's a gene as well. So
can
like,
be. I don't.
With that kind of drinking, that kind of behavioural pattern with the father figure is likely to be genetic as well as learned behaviour. On top of all other things.
Yeah.
But I think she has a natural predisposition because at 18 she's at that level already.
Mm. Yeah. That is interesting though, because that we never really see the beginning of how she got to drinking that much.
Mm.
We kind of understand that she's always drinked a lot. She's probably always been that girl in your friendship group that drinks just like a bit
but not
more
when
than
she was with Jamie.
Yeah, exactly. Just but I think when she was with Jamie, like probably just drank a bit more than everyone else, but it was unnoticeable because Jamie looked after her.
She's really good at getting served.
Yeah.
When and she's then, not of age.
Yes, exactly. And then we kind of get the impression that most of her really heavy, heavy, like, alcoholic, bad drinking, the bad behaviours come out of her grieving her relationship that ended because Jamie is a dick.
And then she always, when she's thinking deeply about it, then associates it with her father.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. In
context, podcast listeners who haven't read the book, her dad died because he was an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And seemed to be quite abusive to a mum.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's so interesting the way that she, because Nina's dad died when she was 9, and the way that she remembers her dad is this like fun, loving, energetic, like
swept her mum off her feet.
Yeah, like passionate man. And then it's only like as you keep reading is that she starts to remember all of the really scary, abusive, violent behaviours that he had as well, and like how much he put Nina and her mum through.
When I made my video about alcohol, the number one thing basically that I was told by everyone is that when their parent has been an alcoholic, everyone who reached out to me about a parent said, or a family member, said exactly the same thing as what was described in Nina's in Nina's situation.
Just like
parent is a good person,
like extremes.
Yeah, a very, very good person when sober. And when they drank, it's like a complete monster, werewolf. People described it as a werewolf to me.
Mm.
And I thought that was super interesting. That is a common pattern that completely changes their behaviour. And so that accurate description, when I was reading this, I was like, that dad description sounds completely accurate for a conventional alcoholic parent. And it sounds like it came from experience of that.
It's really interesting reading this book and having a very obviously alcoholic parent, because obviously when we read How to Build a Girl, Johanna's dad is an alcoholic, but it's never like explicitly
it's not
touched
about,
upon or mentioned, because it's not about that, but he's coded as an alcoholic. Like you can he's like very much like
but it's normalized, isn't it? Whereas
but Johanna
abnormal.
Yeah, it's like dad's at the pub, he's always at the pub,
and he comes and like, he drives drunk and like hits
and somebody get him a beer because he's gonna explode.
And it's almost seen as more comedic in that. Well, it is definitely seen as more comedic in How to Build a Girl.
But Johanna's very, like, in her own world anyway. She doesn't know what... Maybe she doesn't realise that her dad's an alcoholic. She doesn't realise that her brother's gay. Like,
this is literally me. I mean, not that my dad's alcoholic, but you know what I mean? I'm just like, every time people talk about her, I'm like, I don't realise things about people that are very obvious.
Yeah. And a maturity thing, an environment thing as well. Like, Nina has been brought up being very aware that her dad was a problematic drinker, died of alcohol, and that was abnormal in that environment. But when you're
living in a place where everyone goes to the pub, every man after he goes to work goes to the pub every evening and brings back weird people, and that's kind of a norm.
Yeah.
I guess that distorts your view of what an alcoholic is.
Yeah, definitely.
And functioning alcoholism is very different from dysfunctional alcoholism, which is usually when, I guess, people end up in rehab.
Yeah. Ooh, rehab!
Oh, my God, there is so much in this book.
What time?
We're doing really well. We're on an hour.
Okay. Let's talk about rehab and wrap it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Liked that we didn't spend that much time there. Worried we were never going to see.
Yeah.
Also just see the implications of what it was like when she came out again.
Yeah.
So glad we weren't there in there that long. But it was quite funny when we were in there.
Yeah.
For me. Obviously it wasn't funny for her. But I think, yeah.
It's the hope, isn't it? And also those descriptions of AA can confirm, very accurate. I'm happy to say on the podcast that I've been to a couple of AA sessions.
Yeah.
Tried it. And it's very accurate. And was described very accurately. And I think if you're interested in AA, this is a good book to read because of that.
Yeah, it doesn't make it seem scary.
Yeah, rehab sounded fine. Like, obviously a weird situation to put yourself in.
Yeah, it sounded boring,
like,
yeah.
It sounds, like, necessary, but not, like, you don't get strip searched and, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what I had in my head about rehab, but I was like, it sounds friendly and, like, living in a home, like, not just a institute.
Yeah, I found it really sad that Isla, like, relapsed after she got out and ultimately died because everyone cut her off, and then she
and was
just,
the
like,
one who was making the effort to get herself better after it was her partner that had the real like kept dragging her back down, and then the partner gets to survive and she doesn't.
Yeah.
That was really like,
but I guess it was just kind of like showing you how Nina is like, Nina is an example of a recovery. And then
But at least the other voices were present. Like.
But for other people, it's not, they're not as lucky, or like it doesn't work out, which is just like... Yeah. Oh.
And even then, Nina is nowhere near recovered. She relapses multiple times.
With Isla, which is
And with Isla, like, but that was very telling as well. Like, she knows who to go to do the relapsing with.
Yeah, exactly.
She's like, who will understand?
As soon as she answers that text to Isla, I was like, we're in for a drunken scene now. She's going to drink again.
See, I had real hope. I was like, no, they're not going to drink because they understand the struggle. And then I was like, fuck. They went for it. It was horrible reading about her relapses. That was like...
Oh my God, the scene where she has the bottle of vodka and she's on the park bench and she calls her sponsor, Julie. Mm. Oh, I was like...
And then she pours it down the drain.
Oh my God, but I don't think I've ever, reading a fiction book before, been like willing a character with my mind like so much. I'm like, don't do it, Nina, don't do it.
Because you know as well with Nina, it's all or nothing.
Yeah,
there is no middle ground with Nina. If she's going to drink the bottle of vodka, she'll drink the whole thing.
And she'll drink four more.
Yeah. That is a scary part of her alcoholism.
Home.
Yeah.
Go home.
Go home, Nina.
Yeah.
Go
and she went home.
I know. Okay.
God, there's so much in this book.
We're never going to cover everything, but I hope that gives
it's okay. Shall we end it discussing on how the book ends with Alex being advised to plead guilty?
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Which is really interesting, though, because the other two YA rape books that we read last year, I cannot believe it's a genre.
Oh, God, it is, isn't it?
They kind of end with no convictions.
Yeah.
Like, the case being dropped or there never being a case to begin with because they never wanted to report it. This is kind of like obviously devastating because she's been raped, but a kind of beacon of hope for other survivors out there of like, Nina had a really positive experience in the process, like with the police, with...
And she says that she's heard of bad stuff happening.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? She's not aware of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I really actually liked that portrayal because I bet that we've probably all heard more bad stories about when women have gone to the police to report rape. We've all heard the horrible stories.
Or been involved in the process and been aware that it has not been favourable.
But obviously, like, some people do get the justice and some...
Yeah, like, some people do.
Some people do. Mm. And I really liked that was represented in this book. It was like a nice kind of like, oh, it's not completely futile reporting it. Like, obviously, if you're a survivor of rape, then you do whatever you want to do and like, and however you want to process it, report it, don't report it, like talk to whoever. But I liked that this book kind of, even if it's fictional, but it did give an example of a story of when it worked out.
Yeah. And also it kind of felt like she was like the later version of some of the early characters from the other books, where it was like she comes forward to the story, two people whose cases failed for whatever reason come back forward.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I hope that maybe the characters from the other books, if they were living and real,
like Emma from Asking
maybe,
for
yeah,
it.
Maybe yeah. in like 10 years they'd be the person to go, actually, I do have a story about that guy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I want to reopen my case.
Yeah. It's important to note that it wasn't just her, it was like these people that came before her who were like, no, actually, let's kick some shit off.
And it's the first, the policewoman she sees is the first person she speaks to who does not add emotional weight to her experience. Everyone else adds their emotions into
that's
it.
Really true.
And she notes how relieving it is to have the final character kind of that you meet in that story.
Just be like, I just need the facts.
Yeah, just need the facts. What happened? Where's the video? I'm going to ask lots of detail. But we're going to get somewhere with this.
Yeah.
It's a real hope.
Yeah.
Like, the main thing that incriminated Alex, and this is what I've learned from writing my book, doing it, so I'm sick of it.
I was like, we've nearly got through our whole
without Hannah plugging
without doing it.
But in order to get a rape conviction in the UK, you need to prove that the victim did not consent, but then you also have to prove that the perpetrator did not believe that the victim had consented. And so so Zoe coming in, Zoe doing her like 180 and coming in and giving evidence of Alex's text to her being like, she was, what, well, I don't know what he said.
Yeah, it was Zoe's that clinched it.
She was like a dead pig. It was like fucking a dead, or something like that, which basically, it's horrible, absolutely horrific. But what those texts do is prove that Alex knew how, completely not with it Lena was. Basically, those texts prove that Alex knew he wasn't having consensual sex.
Yeah.
And that's what makes him like, yeah, you raped someone.
Yeah.
Cool. Just FYI, the law.
Yeah. That's how it works. Would you have sex with this book? I personally would have hot lesbian sober sex with this book.
Oh, good shout.
Oh no, I was going to say something really I don't believe. I was going to say I'd have sex with Robbie in this book. Sober Robbie sex.
I'm like, can I have both of those?
Yeah.
But also I would have threesome. Can I have the hot lesbian sex?
The book.
And also Robbie sex, all sober. Thank you.
But on the same night, and don't leave the condom inside you.
Yeah, I may say, like, as a whole, I would not have sex with this book, because the vast majority of sexual encounters she has are horrendous. But, and mentally
scarring. I also, like, weirdly want to have sex with Max in this book, but I think I'm also still too young for him.
Yeah, I think you're
closer.
I'm getting closer. I'm not 18.
No.
Bit older.
I picture, if anyone who's listening knows, I'm talking about Max, Casey Neistat's friend. So, like, in my brain, Max is a no-go.
I have no idea who that is, but cool.
Yeah, there'll be someone. Thanks for listening. We loved having you. I hope you enjoyed our discussion about Nina Is Not Okay.
Rate us on iTunes if you want and tell us what you thought of the book.
Yeah, tweet us. We're at Banging Book Club on Twitter. And next month we are reading A Quiet Kind of Thunder by Sarah Bernard.
Oh, yeah.
I think I know Sarah Bernard. Fun fact.
She lives in Brighton. Do you know her?
Beautiful Broken Things.
Oh, great book.
I think she's married to a friend of mine, but I'm not sure. Anyway.
Interesting. We'll find out.
We will find out.
Me and Sarah have a mutual friend, so we'll find out.
I did that video with her, didn't I?
You
we went to
there
Brighton.
There we go. Look at us. I'll
link
the
video. I did a Brighton tour with her.
We all have connections with Sarah. Isn't that great? Is it Sarah or Sarah? Because I know it's spelled Sarah.
Sarah Bernard.
But what a nice name. And then is there anything else we need? Oh, if you would like to tweet at us, because we are great, and I sound like a middle-aged woman saying that, you can tweet us at Banging Book Club. Hannah
great
kind of mans
gifts.
The fort on that, and then occasionally Lena or I will accidentally log in and post something funny.
Like tweet some kind of a random inflatable vagina and then leave again.
Oh, it is a very entertaining thing to follow. Like, just do.
Great.
Okay.
I don't know if we have anything else. Go listen to our mini-sodes, bitches.
Like, do it. Like, bye, Simon.
Yeah.
Like, bye.
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 Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.